Today on We Really Like Musicals and we have opinions about them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses, the musicals. We're talking about Natasha, Pierre, and the Great Comet of 1812. In 21st century America, we write operas. We write operas. It's time to discover the private and intimate relationship between Natasha and Anatole, which would be ridiculous had they not been so good looking. So here's to the health of married women and their lovers, but what about Pierre? And what about our theme song?
That's very good. Pierre-y good.
Pierre-y good. That was Pierre-y good.
That is rich. Just like Pierre.
Lend me 50 rubles. We need to get in touch with him.
I would like to, especially because he's Josh Groban.
If you ain't Groban, you ain't living. That's what I like to say.
Maybe you should say something else.
Why not? I mean, why?
We are off to a great start, a Pierre-y good start.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to We Really Like Musicals, and we have opinions about them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses, the musicals. I'm James, and
I'm Elise.
And guys, welcome to the podcast of Can't Talking.
Yeah, we haven't talked about that in a minute.
We haven't can't talked about it.
Yeah. That, also that.
I just saw A Quiet Place, and I feel like Can't Talking was a big part of that movie as well.
Very true.
That was the movie of Can't Talking. And we're the podcast.
Can we talk about that?
Nope. Oh. It's been a while since we've had an episode where it's just me and you. Like the last couple episodes, we've had guests on, which is fun. We enjoyed our guests. But you know, back to reality.
Oh.
So how are you?
You know, I'm feeling good. I'm ready to get into this episode and to really start fighting.
You want to start a fight?
I don't want to start a fight.
You just
but
think it's going to happen with this episode.
Yep, and I'm okay with it, but also, am I?
I think we're going to both end up in tears for different reasons or the same reason. I don't know.
This is going to be really, really interesting. I feel like this episode's going to
ruin the podcast forever.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. This might be the last one.
So what musical would break up this podcast? Well, we are talking about Natasha, Pierre, and the Great Comet of 1812, a.k.a. The Curious Incident of the Corpulent Josh Groban. Thanks at K-Sheak?
What's it spelled like?
K-S-H-E-A-K.
Sheak. Has to be Sheik.
Well, anyways, thanks, K-Sheik, for that alternate title.
When you first told me about this musical, you said, Natasha Pierre, The Great Comet of 1812. I thought that Natasha Pierre was like
one person
name. Because you always said it so fast.
Well, they have like 9 different names.
That's true. They do say that. So I just want to make it clear. It's Natasha, okay, comma.
Yeah.
Pierre and The Great Comet of 1812. I don't think anybody could sum up this plot in...
I don't know. I could.
Less than a minute?
Okay, maybe not less than a minute.
Hold on, wait. Can we try to have you do this and do it in like 30 seconds?
You just said less than a minute, and now you're giving me 30 seconds?
Yeah, I'm changing it.
I'm not giving away the ending, though. I'm just giving the synopsis.
On your mark. Get set. Go.
Okay, so there's this girl named Natasha. She's engaged to a man named Andre. He's at war. So while she's waiting for him to come back, she meets a guy named Anatole, who is married, but Anatole doesn't tell her. And then they have this like secret affair, and she's thinking about leaving Andre to be with Anatole. And
10 seconds.
Her mom doesn't like that, I guess. Or her mom?
Her godmother.
Yeah, see,
3 seconds.
You're throwing me off. And the end.
0 seconds.
I did it. Oh, wow. I didn't know there was going to be a noise. Turn it off, please.
Didn't think about that. I guess you did it.
Yeah, I think I did.
But I mean, you left out like a lot of stuff.
Well, yeah, but that's what a synopsis is.
Yeah, I guess so.
Why is it going off again?
I don't know. I turned it off.
Turn it off. That was a Book of Mormon reference. So I think I did a good job summing it up.
Good work.
This is the... I feel the tension again. I feel the fight starting already.
It might come, but it's not coming right now. Just... I'm trying to be supportive.
This is a good time for you to vent. Why don't you... Because we've talked about this, and I was very excited for this episode, and then you seem to be hesitant. And I was curious, mm-hmm. and you haven't really told me
hesitant.
Much detail. So I just want to know, why don't you like this musical?
First of all, I want to clarify, I am not saying this musical is bad. I never said that. I also would like to say that you should be proud of me because I worked very, very hard on this musical.
Very proud.
I have worked very hard to get to the point where I'm familiar enough with this musical to truly, truly appreciate it. But like, let me tell you, it has been a hard day's night trying to get there.
But why? Because with everyone else I've shown this to, it's not hard for them to enjoy this musical.
One of the biggest issues is just the plot. Like, I don't find the plot very interesting. And I think that to have like the main character, Natasha, be just a really like unlikable character to me, it's really hard for me to really enjoy it and get into it because I don't care about her.
It is a 70-page sliver of War and Peace. It's not the whole story. And see, that's what I find exciting about the musical is when it finishes, I go, I need to know more. So that's exciting to me. But I get what you're saying. It doesn't feel like the story's complete because it's not really.
And I feel like the story is just kind of filled with a lot of cliches.
It was written a very long time ago.
And I get that, but you're asking me why I don't like it. And
I know,
that's
I'm explaining
a big reason.
To you why. I mean,
no, I get it. I mean, and when I say like I've spent time with this musical, like I literally sat and listened to every song while reading every lyric, while looking up what certain lyrics meant because I didn't know or I was confused. I just wanted more information. I mean, like
that is impressive.
I have worked hard,
but to me, it's weird that you had
to know this musical.
It's weird that you had to work so hard to like it. Like the person like forcing down sushi for the first time.
Oh man, I should tell you about my first sushi experience later because it was very much like that. I'm sure you have a lot of friends that don't like musicals.
Wait, why'd you laugh after you said, I'm sure you have a lot of friends? That is not a good part to stop and laugh.
Because I expected you to interject and say that you did have a lot of friends, but you didn't.
I'm trying to let you speak.
I'm so sorry. So I'm sure you have a lot of friends that don't like musicals. I also have that situation. And this is one of those musicals that I feel like if I ever sent somebody who doesn't like musicals to visit this musical, they would forever swear off musicals and never try another one again.
But I feel like this musical is very complex musically. The plot to me is secondary. The plot is just a vehicle for this wonderfully arranged music. To me, the reason I like this so much is because of the unique style of the music. I don't care what they're singing about. So plot-wise, I kind of agree with you. It's lacking. It's nice, but it's not like the most exciting plot in the world. But I think people that really like interesting, unique music, they would like it. And those people don't like musicals anyway.
Yeah, I just feel like it contains a lot of things that people who don't like musicals hate about musicals. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like give me an example though.
Well, like I said, we've got a lot of cliches, but then there's a sense of cheesiness to certain lines. Things like Pierre singing, like, I grab you with my big, big hands. And
oh, I think I love that part.
I'm saying these are things that like are going to come off cheesy.
I don't think it is cheesy though. I think it's a sense of humor that the writer has. He knows that certain lyrics are ridiculous and some of them are in third person and describing what's going on. And I think in order to do that, he has to have a sense of humor. So I find those parts, they're funny. It's not cheesy. If you think it's cheesy, you don't get it anyways. Get out of my house.
Oh.
Not you.
Not in your house.
No, not you. See, I just don't see it as cheesy.
I think that a lot of people would, probably no one who's listening to this right now, because if they're listening to this, they are into musicals, and so it's a different dynamic or acceptance of that kind of thing. But it's just one of those musicals that I'm like, oh boy, like this is one I would hide from all my friends who don't like musicals, because I wouldn't want them to think that like there are no other kinds of musicals.
But I feel like if I was making a musical, this is what I would want to do, because visually it's unique. Even we just talked about the third person, how they talk in third person most of the time. I think that's a very unique tool that the writer uses. I think the mashup between Russian folk songs and punk rock and tech or EDM or techno or whatever you call that, club music. I feel like that's very unique. And so I agree with you. It's not very digestible to someone who's just like, I've never listened to musicals before. What's this one? But I feel like as people that create music, this is something to strive for because it's wonderful. It's beautiful. It's creative and it's got its own voice. It's not generic. It doesn't care what you think about it. It just exists. And it's just like, deal with me. That's what I feel like. When I watched this, it was like, it didn't care at all about like who you are. Even at the beginning when they're like, basically like, hey, we're going to do a play. You might not be able to follow it. Check your program. But other than that, we're just going to do what we're going to do. And I just, mm-hmm. I love that kind of attitude of like, this is what we're doing. Deal with it.
And had I had a program, that probably would have helped.
You mean you didn't have that whole song memorized?
You know, I sure didn't. And I'm thinking throughout the musical, I'm like, wait, who is that again? What was that guy all about? What was his one adjective to describe himself? I like and appreciate the music and all the instrumental stuff. But I was surprised that you liked it as much as you did because I just didn't think you would swing for that whole like Russian EDM stuff.
I love it. I love Russian.
But even the EDM stuff?
The way it's integrated is awesome. And I think I've said this before that there's a lot of styles of music I don't like, but the attitude is what bothers me most more than the actual musical style. So I feel like most EDM, I just roll my eyes and I go, these people, you know, it's like a dude on stage, a DJ, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just all glitz and glamour and nobody actually, there's no substance to anything. That's what I feel like most of the time. It's just people that are like, this is noise. This is cool. So the attitude of that scene I don't like, but it's not the music that I don't like. And this musical mixes it. So it's not strictly that EDM stuff, but I love Russian music so much. And they have accordions, fiddles, acoustic guitars, pianos, cellos. They even play the rims of wine glasses at some point or champagne glasses or whatever. It's not just EDM. There's a beat of that, I guess, occasionally. The heartbeat of it, I think, is really the Russian folk music. It's just very much up my alley. As soon as the first song started, I was like, I'm into this.
But that first song is really good and really exciting. And I don't think they're all like that.
But I was actually, we were watching this musical, me and my brother, and my sister-in-law was in the room. And she was doing homework and she like halfway through the first act, she was like, what is this? And we were like, Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812. And she's like, this is dope. This one, I think it stretches the limits of what's expected in a musical. And I think it does it very well.
I think maybe like that first song too kind of gave me an impression of what the rest of it was going to be like. And then maybe I was a little disappointed as I took more time with it. Like I could see and appreciate all the complex stuff. I mean, even just, I know you're more of a music creator, obviously, than I am, but even just trying to sing along with the songs is incredibly hard.
Yeah, which I find fascinating. Like, I
yeah,
agree
that's
with you.
Great. Most I mean, people I'm fine with that.
Yeah, most people want a song they can sing along to. And this one is one you have to learn. You have to figure it out.
Put
and
the
it's
time
like a puzzle.
In.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the variety of songs like you were just mentioning, let's talk about some of the music. What was your least favorite song in this musical? Let's start with least favorite. I think we...
Did you say let's talk about Sound of Music?
No, I don't think so.
What did you say?
Some of the music, maybe?
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't know what I said.
I just was like, okay, let's talk about Sound of Music. I'm ready.
We're going to start with our least favorite song this week. What's your least favorite song in Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812?
My least favorite song is Sunday Morning.
Sunday morning, time for
Sunday
church.
Sunday morning, rain is falling.
No, no.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't go like that. Yeah, there's a lot of screaming.
I wouldn't say a lot. It happens a few times.
It always jolts me a little bit. And I just feel like it's, I mean, it's very short and I feel like it's very pointless. This is where Natasha is talking about the old mystical theory that if you look in a mirror and you hold like two candles on either side, right, you're going to see the future. And so she stands in front of the mirror and she looks and it's just kind of like, why? Why are we doing this?
She sees nothing but the candle in the mirror.
No, that's not it at all. And then she's like, time for charge. So yeah, that's pretty much the whole song, and I just think it's kind of pointless.
It is weird that a lot of these songs, they don't really have like a catchy part to them. There's a lot of just like explaining dialogue or whatever. And so, yeah, there aren't a lot of hooks. I mean, there are a few songs, I guess. But yeah, that's one of them that just doesn't really stick out to me either.
It's either way that you want.
Either way. My least favorite song is Pierre and Natasha. It's one of the very last songs. It's just Natasha and Pierre talking to each other.
Oh, you mean the really sweet one where
But here's the thing. It is a sweet moment. I think it's an important moment. It's basically the climax of the musical.
Yeah, it's like the whole point of the entire thing.
Right. But I think once that song starts, there's about 15 to 20 minutes until the end. And it's just so slow. It's mainly piano driven. I feel like this musical is so energetic. And by the time that part comes, like you said, it is a sweet moment. But I don't want the sweet moment at the end.
Where do you want it? In the middle?
Yeah, there are some slow songs in the middle, and I'm glad they're there. I don't know. I'm kind of the same way with like Hamilton does that too. It slows down everything. And I guess the train is coming to a stop, if you will. I don't want it to be 20 minutes long. That's what I don't want. The song is fine. It's just too long.
But it's also the second to last song, so it's not even the last song.
Right, but then the last song is The Great Comet of 1812, and it's another very slow song, which I'm fine with that one.
It's very majestic, though. It's
exactly.
Epic.
Epic's a great word for it. Pierre and Natasha, though, that song is not epic. It is basically single notes plucked out on a piano.
Da, da, da. Wait, how's it go?
I don't remember.
Da, 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 da. Like basically something like that.
Yeah,
anyways.
There's no variety to it. It does that for 7 minutes. Favorite song then? What's your favorite song?
I was tempted to say that the prologue is my favorite song for obvious reasons, but I'm not going to go with that. But there's two that I'm having trouble deciding between. Yeah, should I just pick one or what should I do?
Well, tell me both of them and I'll tell you which one's better.
The two that I am choosing between are Pierre, which is the song that Pierre sings about himself. And the other one is Letters.
In 19th century Russia,
we write letters. Which is a song about everybody writing each other letters. And so I think that one's really interesting. So I don't know. I like those two songs. I feel like equally, Pierre is fully Josh Groban singing the entire time. I want Josh Groban to sing always.
Yeah, if
at
you
all
ain't
times.
Groban, you ain't living.
Yeah, that's what we say here on this podcast. And I just...
We should make shirts to say that.
I mean, but I do believe that Josh Groban is one of the, I don't know, like best people on the earth, I guess.
How come?
So, how come?
Yeah.
Okay, let me talk to you about Groban real quick. I grew up on Groban. All his old like Italian songs, Spanish songs.
I found out a fact about Josh Groban. He went to school to be in like musical theater, which he never did until this musical. But he in his class was Josh Gad and Leslie Odom Jr.
Wow. Huh. I never knew how funny he was. And this is where
He is funny.
This is just where I died because he was on The Office. He was on It's Always Sunny.
Tim and Eric, awesome show.
Tim and Eric. He was on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Glee. I don't even know. There's probably like 10 more things I'm missing. But every time he makes an appearance, he takes himself 0% seriously. Like in Glee, I think he acts like a complete jerk to everyone. He's like, I'm Josh Groban, I'm amazing. And it's hilarious. He's just so funny. And I just can't.
Okay, then don't.
Then I won't. Don't you think his voice is amazing?
Yeah, I like his voice. It's very formal. That's a good way to put it. You know, people make fun of him that he's like America's choir boy.
If anybody makes fun of them, I will go into battle.
But I think what they mean is just his voice sounds very trained.
In this musical, do you feel that way though?
No. And that's what I mean. I love Josh Groban in this musical. I thought he did a great job. There are some moments that sound very Groban-esque, but I'm okay with it.
So which song should I choose then? That was the point.
I think Pierre's a great song. Letters is fun, but Pierre is a good second number right after the prologue. It's a great way to introduce that character, and it's a great segue into the rest of the musical.
Well, it's a great song, just alone. Mm-hmm. Letters is probably more of like a fun choice.
Yeah.
And Pierre's more of like, if I want to like belt out my soul. So what's your favorite?
My favorite song is The Private and Intimate Life of the House.
Really? Is that because of the old man looking for his glasses?
No, I do love that part. It's terrifying when he's screaming, "Where are my glasses?"
Yeah, how does he scream like that and make me like feel like my insides are coming outside?
You know, I wish I knew the secret to that very talent.
Because you'd like to make other people feel that way?
Uh-huh.
That's nice.
No, I think the song starts out, you know, with him sitting there in his chair.
Yes,
and,
Father. Yes, Father.
Well, not that part, but I do that. Oh. I was getting to that.
Sorry.
No, him sitting in his chair just like, "I've aged," or whatever.
So much.
Yeah. And he hits his powdered wig and like dust, powder flies off of it. You know, it transitions to his daughter and she kind of says like, "While we entertain guests, it's a different thing. But when it's just the two of us, there's a lot of anger towards each other. And like, I hate you and I could hurt you, but I never would." It's just a very intense song. And the beat of it is just, and it gets stuck in my head. My head.
My head.
I have no friends, no, never go anywhere. I just realized how sad that is that gets stuck in my head.
Well, that's the part I was going to bring up as well.
Yeah. But I love how that sounds.
Never invited.
And I think this is also the part in the musical where, they first interact with the crowd. Mary goes out into the crowd and makes some dude stand up and he's like, basically that's supposed to be her suitor.
Oh, right, right.
And then Prince Bolkonski goes to some girl and like, she's supposed to be some like French slut or something like that. But it's an audience member. So it's their first interaction with the audience, which I thought was really funny the first time I saw it. And it's something very unique about this musical is it the interaction with the audience, the stage. The director says she doesn't even consider there's a stage. It's not really a stage. It's just everything's happening around you. The first time this was ever performed, it was in a small little place that was like 87 people. And it was just like a dinner party.
My only issue with that song is just that I feel like that relationship, like, I don't really understand why that's so important for us to know.
Natasha has to win their favor.
Right. But she doesn't.
Right. But you need to know what she's about to experience. So then when she comes in the song, Natasha and the Bolkonskis, and there's this awkwardness between everybody, you know, and he's got the line of, "Says the mean old man in his under things." And then the weird little dissonant thing that they sing where it's just...
Can we just talk about that?
I love that so much.
That is the craziest thing that I've ever heard.
And it works so well.
And every time that I try to like sing it, I can't figure it out, but I end up harmonizing with one of the parts and I don't even know which part.
Let's try it. I don't know the note. It's just...
It's constrained. Like... Constrained.
And strained.
Strained. No, that's not it. I can't do it.
You have to sing it one half step above.
Okay,
me.
Try again.
Constrained.
Nope.
No. Constrained. Hit the... I can't hold out the note forever.
I'm hitting something. It's just not... It's harmony with you.
Strained.
That's not right.
This sounds beautiful. We're not annoying people in their ears right now, for sure.
We're really, really good singers. And I like the dissonance of the notes because, I mean, it's like the clearest way that you could say, hey, these two people are on different pages.
Right.
But like no one does that. So that was very, very cool. Interesting. Like, why has no one done that before? I don't know.
You can use music to illustrate a point. It's not just the background thing while two people sing. It's also almost like a character.
At the very beginning, she's like, "And from the first glance, I do not like Natasha." And then literally at the end of the song, she's like, "Oh, wait, like, don't leave. Come back. Stay. Like, we want you as a part of our family." And so I don't really understand
why she
has shifted so fast.
I think it's a loneliness thing. From the first song, when you first meet her, she says that has no friends, never goes anywhere. I think
never invited.
Yeah, I think she doesn't like Natasha, but at the same time, she doesn't want to be alone with her father again, and she'll do anything to get away from him.
Pierre is supposed to be 49 in this musical.
Sure.
And Natasha is supposed to be 19.
Okay.
Okay. So we know that there's that moment at the end, I guess, spoiler alert, where he says, like, I would offer you my hand, whatever.
Yeah.
And when I did research in the story, apparently they do end up getting married. I find that fascinating because they're basically like 30 years apart.
Yeah, but it's 1812 Russia. I mean, it's a miracle she's even 19. I'm surprised you didn't say a younger age.
Well, I did read that she was a teenager, and then later I read that she was 19. I thought, well, I guess you could, I mean, you could call it 19 teenager because it still has teen in the name.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't personally call 19 a teenager, but.
Really? I mean, literally, that's what they are.
I think a teenager is like 17
a person
and
with
below.
Teen in their name? Uh-huh.
No, because when you're 18,
okay.
You're
I mean, this is okay. A fact. I'm not going to argue a fact with you.
Wow.
Who thought that's what we would argue about on this episode?
Me.
Oh, okay. What'd you think about the opera?
You mean this musical or you
no,
mean the opera?
No, when they go
the
see
opera?
The opera. With the first time Natasha meets Anatole.
I liked it. It's very long, but I think it's interesting, and I like being introduced to Anatole in that way, how he comes in late
a rush
and
of
he
cold
walks down
air.
The aisle, and he has swagger, which would be ridiculous if he weren't so good looking, as they say. I love his hair. His hair is great. He's got great hair. Stands up straight like a mohawk. It's wonderful.
I love our difference, like things we notice differently. I'm like, yeah, the music's really intense and complex, and you're like, the dude's hair was neat and spiky.
I am being completely sarcastic.
I know.
It's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. And I'm like, how is anyone attracted to this
but
man?
That's the joke. He's not that attractive.
I totally
and
get it.
I think the last note he hits when he's like, to St. Petersburg. Like, I think that's the last time he's seen in the musical. And it's like the highest, most annoying,
whiny
little
note. Can I say something about that note?
Yeah, please.
When I was doing my research of listening and reading the lyrics, and this is so weird to me, apparently Dave Malloy, the composer, he said that he wrote that high note as a joke because he couldn't figure out how to end the song. So he just put that in there. And then he said forgot about it, which how do you forget about? Anyways, and then he says when this guy was rehearsing, he just went for it and hit that note. And Dave was like, cool, now I don't have to change it.
Oh, that's so funny.
What? That's so bizarre.
I love that, though. It's so organic.
I guess.
You know what I mean?
He just didn't know anyone would hit it. And I just don't know how you like get to the point of rehearsal and you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot that I put an impossible note in there.
I thought it was only slightly better than John Legend's high note in Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, it's 10 times better than John Legend's note. You kidding me? I would take that any day.
I am kidding.
Take
you.
Me to yes. Petersburg.
Well, I want to play a game.
Let's play a game.
All right. We are going to play What Song Is That From? Theme song.
Hey, wait a second. I gotta know. What song is that from?
What do you have prepared for me today?
No, you have something prepared for me. Ah, you kidder.
Oh,
you jokester.
Classic joke. You got so scary choosing the look on your face.
Didn't look any different.
Okay. We're going to start with an easy one.
Okay.
Your first lyric is, press your wet face to mine. It's my least favorite line in the entire musical.
Press your wet face to mine?
Yep. And I hate this line so much that I had to give it to you.
I knew this was going to be hard because there's so many
songs.
And a lot of very strange lyrics like, press your wet face to mine. Who has a wet face? Who has a wet face in this musical?
Think about why your face would be wet.
Crying.
Yes.
I think somebody would be crying. Natasha would probably cry near the end. So it could be in my least favorite song, Pierre and Natasha. Well, I'm going to go with that one, Pierre and Natasha, because why not?
Bonk.
Not even that sad, actually.
Oh, okay. The correct answer is, in my house.
Oh,
in my house.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that song.
Sonia says that because Natasha is screaming at her family and saying Anatole is better than they will ever be. And
ridiculous.
Just being super
what
rude and mean to them. I know, it's classic teenage rebellion. 19-year-old rebellion.
Teenage.
So you got that wrong, but that's okay.
Let's have number two. That was weird. I'm not going to say it that way ever again.
Let's have it. Okay, maybe this one will be easier for you. This lyric is, I don't grasp the question.
I don't grasp the question.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm saying.
Oh.
I don't grasp the question.
It's not a question.
Well, how could this be easier?
I thought this would be easier because I remember when I heard this line, I laughed because it's basically what you say when you just don't want to answer.
So probably something Anatole says. Can you at least give me a hint? Is it something Anatole says?
No, it's not something Anatole says.
Rats. Okay, I don't grasp the question. I don't know. That doesn't sound like nothing's popping out to me. So I'm going to say the ball.
Bonk.
How dope was that ball, though?
Very dope. I like the guy's hair. So the correct answer is Sonia and Natasha, because this is where Sonia finds the letter. But she's basically asking her a bunch of questions about why she's going for Anatole and why she's leaving Andre behind. And she's literally just like, I don't grasp the question.
And the song after that is called Sonia Alone. And I just want to say they missed an opportunity to call it Sonia Alonia. Okay, continue.
I thought you were going to say Sonia Alone.
Oh, that's good too.
Yeah, that would have been
either
good.
One.
Okay, so I'm going to have to go easier with you on number three.
You always are like pick the hardest lyrics, and this is not a good one to pick hard lyrics on.
I really genuinely thought that would be easier. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here at home, I drink and read and drink and read and drink.
Okay, so that's definitely something Pierre says. Not at the beginning, not in his first song, I don't think. Not in Pierre. I think it's got to be in... No, wait. No, now I'm second guessing myself. Maybe in Dust and Ashes. But I think he has another song too, doesn't he? No, maybe he does. That sounds like he's introducing kind of what he does. So maybe that's at the beginning. Pierre? I'm going to go with Pierre.
Final answer?
Yeah, I'm going to get it wrong, aren't I?
Yeah.
Was it Dust and Ashes?
It's not Dust and Ashes, actually. It's
I knew there was
Letters.
Another one. Really?
Yeah, he goes into a little spiel during Letters, which is another reason why I like Letters, because he has his own little part in kind of the middle of it, I believe.
Does he say, drink tonight, gonna drink, drink?
Oh, man.
What does he say in that one part where he goes, here's to happiness, freedom, and life? Is that what it is? Happiness, freedom, and life?
Yeah, he's wishing well Anatole off on his journey.
Gosh, I love that part.
This is his letter. He's writing a letter to Andre, and he's asking him how the war is and stuff. And he's saying, like, you know, I wish I could be with you with death at my heels. And then he talks about Natasha and how he envies him. He says, you know, here at home, I drink and read and drink and read and drink.
Yes.
Describing the comparison between his friend doing something good, being off at war. And then he goes into his thing about Napoleon. And that's towards the beginning. So I said the middle and I was wrong. So we're both wrong. Woohoo!
No possibility for me to get the majority. I can't get 3 out of 5 now.
Well,
but I
could give you 6 lyrics.
No, let's just do 5. I would rather fail in lesser amounts.
Than more amounts.
Yeah, that was implied by how I... Yeah.
I was helping you. I thought you were having a stroke. Okay.
You think that a lot about me, don't you?
Yeah. I feel like you're going to get this. I believe in you. I have faith in you. Let's do this.
All right.
The lyric is... I'd tickle you all if I could.
Ah, that's from the opera.
Okay.
I'd tickle you all if I could.
Pierre.
Yeah, because Natasha, me and my brother had a discussion about this. It sounds like Natasha is intoxicated, like she's been drinking at the opera. There's only like one line that hints at that. It's not blatantly obvious, I don't think.
They say that she falls into a state of intoxication, but I think that's with the being awestruck at the opera.
All right. I got one right.
So we're down to our last one, right?
Yeah.
Beer, 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 beer. Okay. There is such a thing as other people and their happiness and peace.
That sounds like a wrapping up sort of lyric, like something Pierre would have said near the end. Let's just go with the Great Comet of 1812.
Final answer?
Yeah.
Bonk.
Man.
This
was a hard, hard episode to do this game on.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. It's just I won't go easy on you next time.
Okay, hold on. You said, I am in love with this music.
I am.
You also said that you couldn't get these songs out of your head.
Also
true.
You
also said that you've been listening to these songs over and over. So I mean, but I
you
think it
also
was
said
fair.
That these songs are lyrically complicated. Well, like, for example, when I listen to Hamilton, I think those songs are really awesome, really fun, and I mm-hmm. like to listen to them. On the other end of the spectrum, when I listen to Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812, I don't necessarily want to listen to the songs. I want to learn the songs. I want to get my guitar out. I want to, like, I never had the urge to learn a Hamilton song, like, on an instrument. But with this one, I think it's because I'm drawn to acoustic string instruments anyway, in general. With this one, I was like, I got to learn these songs, which I still need to do, but
that thought did occur to me as I was listening to it. I was like, I feel like if I could play instruments well, I would be like, dude, I gotta know how to play all these.
Oh yeah.
Oh, whoa. Just got
all right,
real.
So I did terrible, but I don't want to end this game on a low note. Can I redeem myself if I can name all the different characters and their adjective from the prologue?
In order?
Yeah, I'm going to fail.
Okay, go.
Is it Bulkonski? Am I off already?
You're missing one. There's one before that.
Dolokhov is fierce? No, Balaga is fun. Balaga is fun.
You got to sing it.
Balaga is fun. Bulkonski is crazy. Mary is plain.
Mm-hmm.
Dolokhov is fierce.
Mm-hmm.
Elaine is a slut.
Mm-hmm.
Anatole is hot.
Mm-hmm.
Mariah?
I thought it was Maria.
Maria is old school. Sonia is good. Natasha mm-hmm. is young. And Andre isn't here.
Yeah, you got
Sweet.
It.
So I won everything.
I guess. Where the points don't matter, right?
Yeah.
Do you know Florence and the Machine?
I mean, I'm familiar with the name, but I haven't listened to the band.
Listen to some Florence and Machine in the Machine. And I want you to tell me that is not the same exact voice of Sonia.
Same with Janis Joplin. My brother brought that up and we listened to Janis Joplin and it is incredibly similar. I don't know. At first with Sonia, I didn't like her voice. And the more I listened to it, the more accustomed I grew to it. And I kind of like it.
Wow.
I don't know if I would like her singing in other, like if that same actress got like a part in Hamilton and something that I was so familiar with in Hamilton was all of a sudden sung by her, I think it would irk me.
Irksome. I feel like it's interesting to say that Josh Groban sounds like he's trying hard and that she doesn't, because her voice sounds very unnatural to me.
I don't think it sounds like she's trying hard. I think it sounds like she's not trying hard enough. It's a little too casual.
I have to disagree. I just think that Sonia Alone song is very pretty, and I just really wish it wasn't her singing it.
Yeah,
I guess.
I feel like giving her a solo is unfortunate because, like I said, her voice is not my favorite. But mm-hmm. I think maybe what I mean is I got used to it in the rest of the musical. Because it's not that noticeable when she's just singing bits and pieces here and there.
Totally.
But
totally
when it's just
agree.
Like, and now listen to Sonia, it's like, oh, okay, well, so this is happening.
I don't want to be like offensive to her, but like she does have like this strange lisp that shows up at the end of that song.
Right.
It's very distracting. And I'm just like, why?
I will stand in
the dark for you.
I will, what is it, hold your hand or And she says, by force?
Yes. Even if I have to hold you back by force, she says.
Back by
force.
I mean, it's whatever, right?
I just don't like it.
That's fine.
Okay, so you know the Charming song?
Charming. Yeah, I like that song.
I thought that might be your favorite, but it wasn't.
I just want to say the structure of that song, how it builds the dynamics of it, I think it's a perfect song to where, like, you know, it's just like, how she blushes
my pretty.
But then at the end, when it gets so big, I mean, beautifully built song. Continue.
Totally. So you know how she says, charmante.
Is it a type of toilet paper?
Yeah. That's what she's talking about. It's such a surprise. I was
charming.
Like,
Charmin.
Okay, Dave, what are you doing? This is the kind of thing that it's just, I don't understand. The word is charmant, which means charming. And when Dave was writing it, he couldn't remember what the pronunciation was for that word because it has an E at the end. So he wrote it as charmante. And then later when he realized that wasn't the correct pronunciation, he was like, screw it, leaving it in there.
Huh, That's interesting.
And it's like that and the high note thing. He just doesn't care.
I love that.
I know you do.
I've seen interviews with that guy too, and he just seems like a cool dude where he's just like, you know, like kind of go with the flow and just like, you know what? I'm just going to do this because I want to. It's one of those things where like, who cares if it's not the right word? She says charming eventually, so.
You wouldn't want to try to be genuine to the culture that you're referring to?
Not if it's funny.
The humor is worth it.
Oh, how she blushes, my pretty.
Charmante, charmante.
Charming. Oh, that's another thing I like. That it's normally like charming or whatever. It goes like high note, then low note. High note, then low note.
You just said that like an Australian.
High note, then low note.
Oh my gosh, Neil Triffitt would be so proud of you right now.
Yeah.
Rice applieds.
But anyways, it's normally high note, low note. And then the last time she goes, charming. Like low note, high note.
Yeah,
I love that. It's simple, but it's just like sometimes just those like, fun little twists are interesting.
Change?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Charming. What I think is funny is that the word charming is always used when it's basically like, yeah, I don't care about that.
Charming.
Like, so you're in love, and that's charming. You're coming to the ball.
All right. Do you want to wrap this up?
Mm-hmm.
Is it time to rate for it?
Play that theme song.
Raid for it.
Raid for it.
Raid for it.
Raid for it. Raid for it.
Raid for it.
Are we doing that theme song like every time now?
I think so. You look so shocked. Like, do we do a theme song introduction
well,
now?
I wasn't sure because this is all new to me.
All right, Elise, what are you giving Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812?
I have to go first.
Uh-huh.
As I said in the beginning, this just did not come naturally to me. This took a long time to even get like familiar enough with it. And I really had to put in the work, had to put in the time and the effort. And I feel like I should be getting, you know, some compensation.
I mean, what? Are you talking from me or from the listeners?
We're going to put my PayPal link in the description below.
Or they could just buy a coffee mug with our logo on it.
That's true, guys. We have coffee mugs and stickers. And shirts?
I think we have shirts, yeah.
You know, I'm not a huge fan of the plot. A lot of cliches, characters that don't care about. It is, though.
It's not, though. I don't think...
We've got a love triangle. We've got a duel. We've got a woman cheating on her husband. We've got depression. We've got alcohol.
But it's not cliche if it's one of the originators. You know, you can't say, oh, I don't like the Ramones. They're just cliche punk rock. They made it up.
I mean, I think to choose this story in this modern time, you're deciding that you're going to choose something that has a lot of cliches in it.
Does that mean anybody who performs Romeo and Juliet should be stoned?
Okay. Wow. This has escalated. No, what I'm saying is I don't care for the story because it's not even a love triangle. There's literally three men liking the same woman. We've all heard that story. And then the main character is somebody who's...
We've all heard that story. What?
We have.
I haven't.
And then like the guy you're rooting for is Pierre, and he's not even the main character. I mean, he's definitely one of the main characters, but he's not like the main character. And I guess you're rooting for him. But then also, he ends up going for Natasha, which is interesting because Natasha's selfish and rude and...
Well, but he doesn't go for Natasha, though. I think you're misinterpreting it. He basically tells her, if I were younger...
He doesn't say if I was younger. He says, if I was the most handsome and if I was free, then I would ask for your hand and I would ask for your love.
What he's saying to her is she just tried to kill herself because she is being a little whiny baby. And he's saying, hey,
careful.
There's other fish in the sea. And he's just saying it like flat out, listen, if you don't think another guy would fall for you, I would fall for you. And I think that's the whole point of this, the Great Comet, is that it's this thing that everybody thought was going to bring terror. And then for him, it was a moment of clarity where he's finally like, oh, I don't have to be stuck with this wife of mine who's a slut. And then for Natasha, it's a moment of clarity where she's going, oh, I have been being a little brat and maybe there are other men around and I don't have to just fall into deep depression. just because things didn't work out this time.
Yeah.
And I don't think that is cliche. So maybe some of the story, like, I think maybe there are cliches, like you were saying, but I think ultimately the culmination of all these ideas is kind of like hopeful and just like, I think that's applicable no matter where people are in life. It's just like, hey, if you're feeling crappy, it doesn't have to be like that. You can move on.
Yes.
Sorry, I interrupted your thing. Sorry.
Even in those last few moments of Pierre having that clarity and having really growing as a character, because there is a lot of character development, especially just like towards the end. But him having that growth, and then I guess in my mind, knowing that in the story, he ends up with Natasha, I'm just kind of like, ugh. I don't know. I liked.
But we don't know what the rest of the story is, how they end up together. So maybe they've both matured.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I would have liked for the ending to be like not romance between the two of them, especially because like she's 19, he's 49, but whatever, it's Russia.
But I don't think the ending is romance between the two of them. I think the ending of this particular musical is realization for the two of them.
Well, he says that in the very beginning, he says he's always had affection for her. And then towards the end, he talks about how he has woken up in the Great Comet. And in the earlier parts, he talks about how they say you don't wake up, you're asleep until you fall in love. So the whole point is that he wakes up because he realizes that he's in love with her. And he has this kind of hopeful outlook for the future because now that he's experienced love, he feels like he's a new person. He doesn't feel like he's experienced that before. I would have liked for it to end a little bit differently, I guess.
It is kind of a head scratcher when the lights fade and there's no curtain, but if the curtain were to fall, it is, you kind of go, now what just happened?
Mm-hmm.
But for me, watching it with my friends, that was a fun opportunity to discuss, theorize. And I always find that more fascinating than everybody being just like, that was neat. Like then when you actually get a discussion with your friends, those are the types of movies and musicals.
Like what you did when I asked you what you thought of The Quiet Place.
Yeah, that was good.
It was good. All in all, I can appreciate the music, even though it took me a long time. I can appreciate it. Well, I always appreciated the music of it. It was just the concept and everything all together was very hard to like process. All in all, I give it a 7.5.
7.5. I think that's good. I thought you were going to give it a lower score.
I would have. If you would have asked me like a couple days ago, mm-hmm. I probably would have given it like a 6. All right, so what's your rating?
I agree with you that the plot is not the selling point to this musical. And we kind of talked about this a little bit before, but really the thing that I love about this is the use of the styles of music, the uniqueness of it, and how they use music to tell a story. And maybe it is a bit of a simple story, although it has some complex like ramifications, the cliches you're talking about, the love triangle or what, all that stuff, they are kind of simple. And so I feel like the music really enhances something that is simple and makes it like takes it to another level, which I really like. But it's just, this music is what I would listen to no matter what. Like it doesn't even have to be this musical. Like if there was a band that played this style of music, I would listen to them all the time. Like I said, it's a fun talking point for me. Like I know you said you wouldn't show this to somebody just like, hey, you don't like musicals, watch this. But I think it is a fun one for people that do like musicals to watch, to experience, and to discuss. Because I think there's a lot of things you could say about it. This has become one of my favorite musicals recently. So I think I'm going to give it an 8.7. I'll give it an 8.9. I don't want to give it a 9, but I think I'm going to give it an 8.9. Why are you looking at me like so shocked?
That is so high.
I love this. I want to play it all the time. Maybe that would change. Maybe eventually I'll get sick of it. But right now it's fresh, new, and I really do love everything that's so unique about it. So like weird things like the opera, there's like that weird moment where they're making like weird goat noises and all that stuff.
Very strange to just listen to that.
Right. But I like that. I like weird stuff.
You really do like weird stuff. That's the truth.
But I don't like this just because it's weird. Because you can be weird and not have a purpose. But like this is very, anytime it's weird, like the opera, scene is supposed to be weird, so they make it weird. The dissonant notes we were talking about, they serve a purpose.
That's not weird, though. That's clever.
Right. I'm just saying it's not typical, and it can annoy. Like, if you weren't well versed in music, you might just think that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like anytime they're weird, it's intentional.
Yeah, that you do like it a lot. 8.9.
All right, we done?
We done.
Well, guys, I think that's going to do it for our episode about Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812.
Natasha, Pierre.
Right. Next week, we are doing something, rotten. No, something rotten.
And, exclamation point.
Exclamation point.
Something rotten.
Yeah.
To say like that.
But guys, get on Twitter. Follow us at WRLM Podcast or on Instagram at We Really Like Musicals and tell us your alternate titles for Something Rotten. What would you have called it?
What is that voice?
All right. That's going to do it for this episode of We Really Like Musicals. We have opinions about them. So we made this podcast to tell your opinions about them. Princesses and musicals. I'm James and...
I'm Elise.
And I'd tickle you all if I could.
Press your wet face to mine.
Musicals. Jazzy.